This is the topic we're going to talk about today, and really my thoughts are kind of based in this kind of same process, and it's based on our trusting in Him. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, the text says, "We who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of His glory." And I want to talk to you a little bit about trusting Jesus today, because it seems like a lot of things people used to trust in have fallen by the wayside. People used to have certain standards that they thought. They thought they could trust the banks and the stock markets and the family and different things. And it seems like all the things we thought we could trust have failed us at least partially sometimes. But when we come back to this concept of Jesus, He's promised, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you," and His promises are true. The song that we just sang was written back in 1882. And the lady that wrote it, Lisa Steed's husband had died and left her and her little daughter. They were just kind of alone and left to the world. And one day when they came home, they found somebody had left some food and some money there at the doorstep. And after she received that gift, that anonymous gift, she went back and she wrote this song that we just sung. "Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more." You know, that's a challenge for us in our life too. We may not be destitute as far as the pocketbook is. Sometimes maybe we're there too. But with all that's going on around us, what is it that we hold on to? When everything else failed us, what's the one thing that will always be there? And that's what I want to spend our time talking about. Not just a song that surely is a good song, a song that I enjoy singing, but this idea of trusting Jesus. Because I believe with all of my heart that there's nothing else in the world compared to strong faith in Jesus Christ to get us through whatever this life has to offer. So let me ask the question to start with. What does it mean to trust? Or how do you define the word trust? What is trust? And I think it's like a lot of things. It's kind of a stew. It's a mixture of a lot of different things in a pot that kind of comes up and tells us, I know that there are succinct definitions, but when you look at the Bible, I think there are several aspects of trust that I want to talk about. Trust is when you depend on someone else. I trusted you to water my grass or cut my grass or feed my dog. I trusted you to go to the bank and make the house payment. I trusted you, and those are on the human level, but in the book of Proverbs in chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path." You see, this is where a lot of us run into trouble. Most of us trust mostly in ourselves. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just look guilty if you want to, and I'll know who you are. How many of you have tried to put too much trust in yourself from time to time? And how many of you have suffered some bad consequences because what you thought you could trust in yourself didn't turn out that way? I know that's happened in marriage and family and life and jobs and different sort of decisions that we make. But if we'll trust in Jesus, if we'll trust in God, if we'll not lean on our own understanding, but believe that He is the Creator of all things and He cares for our souls. And as we talked about several weeks ago, He said, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, not to harm you." If we can get to a place where we can trust in Him, our life will be a lot better off than it is today. Our life won't have some of the same downfalls that we've had. Trusting in Jesus is where you'll find peace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "But God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That concept is one that makes all the difference in the world to me, because it says it wasn't because I'm good enough, but because I'm not, that Jesus died for me. It says not when I earned it, but when I couldn't earn it, Jesus died for me. It says that what I can't do, He can do. When I understand that at my worst, God sent His best, then I can learn to trust in Jesus. Jesus promised in Matthew 28 verse 20, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age," or end of the earth. Think about people who failed you. People you thought you could count on. People who would stand there and be for you there in your darkest and most hurtful moments. Things that you thought you'd never have to face, but you knew that so-and-so would be there for you and have your back and be for you. And oftentimes those very people that promise, you can call me for anything, aren't there when anything comes. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. And so someone asked the question, well, what about when I get into trouble? Where is Jesus then? Well, he's in the same place he always was. If somebody moved away, it was you or it was me. Jesus doesn't leave us. Sometimes we leave him. Oh, for grace to trust him more. That doesn't relieve me of my responsibility or what I have to do, but it does say that God can do when I let God do. I think another part of trust is when we take somebody at their word. I believe that you'll do what you said you will do. I believe your promise is true. I believe that you're steadfast in what you've said. In Luke chapter 5 and verses 4 beginning, Jesus says to Simon on that occasion where they're going to go out and fish, fished all night, caught no fish. This is a verse I keep coming back to all the time, because there are some times when life tells me one thing, but faith tells me another. Peter said, Lord, we have fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. Boy, isn't that a strong message? When my experience tells me it's not going to work, I'm going to trust in you to see it work. When what I've been through doesn't make sense to me, I believe that you're able to do whatever you said. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll put out to sea. And he puts out to sea, and the nets break, and they have to call people to help bring in the fish. I trust in Jesus. And that's a hard thing for us to do, is to get to the nevertheless. When reason leaves me, at your word, I'll put out my nets. I'll let down the nets. I'll do what you say. I will follow you wherever you lead me. Peter's an interesting story, though. He does so many of these things. You remember that occasion where the disciples were in the ship and the ship got rough? And that happened to them several times. They sailed in some terrible water, some terrible storms sometimes. In Matthew chapter 14, there's this storm and Jesus comes out and they're scared and they think it's his spirit or a ghost or something that comes out, because Jesus comes out on the water and he meets them out in the middle of the sea. And Jesus tells them they don't have a lot of faith. So Peter says, tell me to come out on the water. I believe you. I trust you. Peter answered, said, Lord, if it is you, I got a little test for you. And I want to say, Peter, don't test the Lord. But that's kind of human, isn't it? We kind of get there sometimes. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Give me some proof. Let me know that this is you for real. Lord, if it is you, you command me to come out to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter walked on the water out of the boat, he walked out on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And they got into the boat. The wind ceased. Do you believe Jesus' word is true? You believe he can forgive you of your sins, wash your sins away, give you a new life to live? Because that's what he's promised. He's promised that when this life is done, all the former things, all the bad things, all the hurtful things, those things are going to be done away with. And God himself will wipe away every tear from your eye. All the sins are going to be gone. But you have to come to him and trust him. You have to live for him and with him. It's not like a free pass. It is a life decision that we need to answer when Jesus says, come, even on the water. But you know, I think there's another element of trust, and that comes when we believe in somebody's promise. If I promise to give everybody here a Cadillac after church today, how many people think you're getting a Cadillac? Yeah, you're right. You're not. I don't have the ability to give everybody here a Cadillac or a whatever the fancy car is that you want. So there's not a lot of trust that I'm going to do that. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus said, I can give you everlasting life. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus said, I can wash away your sins and everything that's bad that's happened can be taken away. In Hebrews chapter 6, the story is told, or the Hebrew writer reminds us in verse 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessings I will bless you, and multiply, and I will multiply you. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And then verse 18 says, there are two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation that who have fled for refuge to lay hold on those, the hope set before us. I've got to believe the promise of God to access the promise of God. I've got to believe you're going to give me what you say you're going to give me. That's trust. And that's how the Bible defines it. Our song just a minute ago said, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." So it seems a natural question to me, what's so sweet about trust? Is it chocolate? Chocolate sweet. Sometimes when people tell me chocolate solves everything, not an amen amongst you. You almost not like chocolate. What's so sweet about trust? Well, the Bible talks about that. And one of the things that's sweet about trust is it allows us to eliminate worry from our life. How many of you are guilty of worrying? Again, you don't have to raise your hand. Just deal with it in your mind. How many of you worry about things that you're not going to change? Things that might happen. Things that are to come. Things that have come. Things that we've done in the past. Worry can consume us and cause us to become utterly unproductive in any part of life. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, "But seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things that you need, the food, the clothes, all the things that you need will be added unto you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof." That makes a lot of sense. How many worried about what's going to happen next week? The next test that you've got to take? The next evaluation you have at work? The next whatever? I'm worried about this. What's going to happen? Well, I like the fact that they announced that we're having something scheduled for next October at Mount Sheol. I like Mount Sheol. My first response in my head, this is not my best response. It's my first response, okay? Boy, I sure hope I'm here next October, as in still alive. I'm not planning on going anywhere. And then I thought, do you know what the lesson is today? You've prepared this. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. It's great to think that we've got something coming up. But what about today? We don't need to worry about next October. We maybe need to plan for it. But we need to trust God today that what He said is true and that His promises will prevail. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but for everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God." Worry does not have to consume us. You know, one of the things that keeps us from having to worry is we really don't have to do anything alone, because God's promised to be with us all the time. Now, if we really understand that, it may change our behavior. But when we begin to doubt ourselves, our ability to accomplish is diminished. And the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so when we run into problems, it's pretty evident that it's not the Christ in us that's working. We get into trouble when we pull away from, not pull to, Christ. When we begin to try to handle this on our own, when we try to make our decisions apart from His decision and think that our way is better than His ways. There are some things that we cannot do by ourselves. Have you ever had to move a limb or a log somewhere and it was a little bit more than you could handle and you had to get a little help? My wife, bless her heart, she must think I'm Superman. Anything that's out there, she says, "Go move that." I remember the other day she looked down in the lake behind our house. A tree had floated down up against our property. It didn't look all that bad from the house. You know, it looked like a couple of feet of tree there. And she says, "You need to go move that." Now, first place, it was in December and the water was cold. Second place, what she didn't see under the water is that tree went way on out there. But you know what I did? I went and I grabbed that tree and I went and I pulled it. The water was helpful for a minute, and then when I got it out of the water, I dropped it. I know this surprises y'all, but I can't pick up a tree by myself that's that big. So I did what any well-thinking husband would do. I pushed it out deeper in the water and hoped that it doesn't come up this spring. I couldn't pick it up. There's some things I just can't do by myself. We can't trust in our own righteousness because that's not good enough. Philippians 3 and verse 8 says, "Yet indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God by faith." I'd hate to face this life without God taking me day to day. There are just some things we can't do. You and I are not going to bring back the dead. And yet Philippians 3 and verse 10 says, Paul said, "That I might know Him, that is Jesus, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I might retain to the resurrection of the dead." I believe in the resurrection, don't you? I believe the promise is that one day I can be resurrected past this life into the next life, into the presence of God. But I can't do that by myself. I needed Jesus on a cross to do that for me. and a grave that couldn't hold him where he was resurrected, that I could have hope. There's some things I can't do alone, but I trust him to do for me. Well, let me fill in one other question for you, or ask one other question, and that is, why do we trust in Jesus? We start off by saying there are a lot of people and a lot of things that have let us down, the things that we don't understand why they went the way. Why do we trust in Jesus? And I suppose the greatest reason is because he died for us. If somebody dies in your place, doesn't that give you pause, make you stop and think, why would he do that for me? John 15 and verse 13 says, greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 goes a little further. It says that he, that is Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. I trust Jesus because he went to the cross for my sins, and I don't have to die that kind of a death or have that fear in all that I do. There's another thing that causes me to trust him, and that's because he has all authority. I don't know how many of you have ever been into the courthouse and listened to the judge. I've been in the courthouse on several occasions, sometimes as a witness. I remember one time I went into the courthouse as a witness for somebody, and the judge, who happened to know me, got through with the case, and all of a sudden he called me up. He took me back to the back hallway. He said, are you in trouble? I thought, no, do I look in trouble? But you know what? He was just having to pass by that courtroom, and he saw me. I didn't say I hadn't got time for you. What would happen if you told the judge when he's sitting on the bench, I'm not coming? In his courtroom, he has all authority. If you don't believe it, go sit in there with a cell phone and see what happens. You will be donating to the cause. Jesus came and he said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28. I trust him because he has got the power, the authority, and the ability to back up everything he says. I trust him. Because there's nothing on the earth that he doesn't have authority to cause to be or to come to be. But I want to share one other scripture with you, and then we'll close this lesson. It's found over in the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 12. At that time, Paul says to this church, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now you're in Christ Jesus. You who once were far off have been brought nearby by the blood of Christ. The thing that stands out to me is without Christ, there is no hope. You can go through whatever program you want to in this life, but at the end, if you face it without Jesus, there is no hope. In my lifetime, I've learned that it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Oh, for grace to trust him more. My question to you this morning is, do you trust in Jesus? Do you trust in Jesus to the point that you've had sin come in your life and you know how to get rid of it? Because he said, based on his word, faith comes by hearing, and that faith and what you do with that faith, you'll begin to change your ways. That's called repentance. And confess his name before men, and be baptized and have your sins washed away and raised up to walk in newness of life and live a Christian life, that heaven can be your home. I don't know where you are in that process this morning, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's where your hope is too this morning. This morning, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, why not today? If you've done that and fallen away, why not come home? Don't leave here without the precious hope that is given to the Christian. 'Tis so sweet. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?